How's it going, everybody? Welcome to episode number 27 of the Monster Truck Outlaws of the West podcast. And this one is very special tonight. I am joined with Phil Vicinanza. Phil, how are you doing tonight? And tonight's going to get a little crazy.
It's going to be a little crazy. First of all, if you guys are brand new to the show, welcome. We do this every week. We interview the past, present, and future of the Monster Trucks on the West Coast. And tonight's going to be a very special episode. It's so special that he ain't in the room here. We might be joined by another co-host later in the evening.
We may make his return.
We'll keep you posted there.
But, you know, let's talk about our guests before we introduce them. We have two guests tonight, and we might have a surprise guest that you'll see later on tonight in the show, but it's definitely going to be awesome. Phil, you want to introduce our guest tonight?
Well, of course, you know, 2020 has been a very crazy year for everybody, including Monster Trucks. And there's been a handful of people that have been really able to thrive in the madness. And our guests tonight are perfect examples of that. Really, in my opinion, the team of the year. They went out there, knocked it out of the park. They were producing events where nobody else was. And you got so many different levels here. And I know they have such great news to share tonight. Our guests this evening from Team Throttle Monster, Paul Jensen and David Too Tall Olfert. Jensen!
Paul and Too Tall, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What's happening?
Oh, you know, just some big news to reveal tonight here. I know a lot of people are tuning in. Not going to get to it right away, but we'll be getting to it very, very soon. We're not going to leave you waiting here for too long.
That's for sure. And, you know, we're going to get right into it. We're going to start it off with Paul. Paul, I got to ask, you started off the season with the toughest Monster Tour. I mean, let's talk about that. How was it like competing on the toughest Monster Tour at the beginning of the season?
So Mike and I were pretty excited when they booked us for the whole tour. I ran that probably six shows in 2018 with Craig Christensen, Dragon Slayer. And I think out of the six shows that we did, I won four of them. So I was pretty confident, and we were really wanting to do that tour. So when they hired us, we were pretty excited. First few shows of the year, I was in first place, and then Mike and I started swapping back and forth, and I had the problem rolling over, I think, seven times, so that kind of put a dent in my points. But Mike went on to be the 2020 champion. You know, the season ended short, and we're pretty excited about that, though, that, you know, at least one person from our team took that championship, and hopefully we'll have many more.
So going back on toughest, you know, something that was unique with the toughest Monster Tour was you guys practically competed on the same track every weekend. What was that experience like?
You know, the thing about the toughest tour that's a little bit different than most of the tours is everything is so steep because we're in, you know, smaller arenas, but we're still trying to get the height out of each and every jump. And so that's a little bit intimidating. I know, you know, Michael's first show he did, he was like, how do I even hit that? And I'm like, well, I can tell you what not to do. You know, in 2018, I was talking with Aaron Kane, and he said, if you think you're hitting it fast enough, hit it faster. Well, I went out there and jumped straight up in the air and landed on the roof. I thought, well, I guess next time I'll have to go faster.
So, you know, you said it there, your season was cut short. A lot of everybody's seasons were cut short this year. But your team, Team Throttle Monster, is one of the first teams to get back going so quickly. What was that process like, getting the team back on the road performing for fans?
You know, we brought in, you know, some really good talent, Dawson Reyes, and then also David Over Too Tall, you know, to get prepped for this season. We were ready to go. Everybody was excited. We had some couple brand new trucks, you know, and the other two weren't very far behind. And, you know, COVID happened, and we were like, oh, man, what do we do? So we kind of had a choice. We said, well, we can go take the risk ourselves and go put on a show every single weekend and everybody can stay busy, or we can all go home and park the trucks. And we all kind of voted on, well, let's just see what we can do and make it happen. So we were booking shows, you know, sometimes 7-8 days out, and we'd go do them. And some of them worked out really well, and some of them were more of a break-even type show. But, you know, this is what we love to do. So we figured we'll give it a whirl. And I think we were busy from about June every weekend until, you know, just a couple weeks ago. So.
And, you know, you said it there, you brought on a lot of different people, one of them being Dawson Reyes. He was one of our past guests. And another one being our other guest here tonight, David Olfert. Now, Dave, you didn't start the year with Team Throttle Monster. What were you doing when January 2020 came around?
January 2020, I was actually taking a break from Monster Trucks. You know, I had, excuse me, it's been all I've done for, you know, 10, 11 years now, full time. So just wanted to go home and take a break for a little bit and, you know, see what it was like to be able to sit on my couch and watch TV every night. And, you know, sure enough, mid-January, early February, Mike kept blowing up my phone about coming to work and helping put these trucks together. And sure enough, he wore me down enough to where I was coming to Utah and helping put some new trucks together.
Hey, you got that call pretty quick, and you were in action at the beginning of March. What truck were you driving, and what was that experience like?
I was driving the it's a brand new CRD chassis. I was driving the truck called Wrecking Machine. You know, Hunter Souza, Jeff Souza, they came up with the name, pretty cool name. And we got to debut it in Medford, Oregon. And it was actually kind of cool to be able to debut and drive a truck for the first time that I helped build. You know, I've helped build a, you know, probably a dozen trucks and never got to be the one to drive them first. But it was actually kind of cool to be the first one to debut and drive a brand new truck.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, when the pandemic hit and everything is kind of shut down, what's going through your mind? Like, you just got on the team, you just got in the brand new truck, and then everything stops.
It was kind of hard to process at first. You know, I was coming back from that show where we debuted the trucks and we were talking about, you know, shows we had coming up. And then, you know, it was a 12-hour drive. So 3 hours down the road after that, Mike's calling me saying shows here have been canceled, shows there have been canceled. And we get back to the shop, and next thing you know, 2 months worth of shows are canceled and 3 months worth of shows are canceled. And we really didn't know what to do, you know, so we kind of, everybody just kind of shut down for a couple weeks. You know, I went back home and hung out with the family for a little bit and just kind of didn't really know what to do. But it was kind of hard to go through life without Monster Trucks for a little bit. And thankfully, we were able to get back to going and get back to normal.
So you get back to normal, and I tell you, Too Tall, if there was some awards program for Rising Star or Driver of the Year, you have to be in those nominations, because once you guys got the events rolling again, you were all over the country driving whatever truck with whatever body, and more often than not, you were the star of the show. Was there some sort of momentum that you were riding on, or consistency being in the events when maybe other teams aren't?
It helped a little bit to get back in the seat and go run every weekend instead of some drivers where their trucks maybe ran once or twice a month. So, you know, it was nice to be fresh every weekend, you know, getting back to it and seat time. But I think a lot of the biggest thing from this summer about the momentum and carrying on was the team, you know, Team Throttle Monsters. They, you know, brought me in and they said, you go drive the truck however you want to and drive hard and represent our team well. So I'm, you know, took that as, all right, so I'm going to go out there and I'm going to try and get the win and try and make for a name for myself and for this team. You know, it's a great team and I really think we got something good going.
Yeah, you sure did. And now another question for Paul. I know you mentioned it. You guys expanded the team so much this year. Why was now a good time to expand the team from just Kamikaze and Vendetta to all these trucks and drivers?
You know, I think that Mike and I kind of talked about it. And monster trucks, you know, are not my full-time job per se. It's more of something that I love to do. I run a construction company, you know, throughout the week. And then Mike and I have just always had this dream of having a really good team, going after championships, you know, getting into the toughest monster tours and the monster jams and, you know, the biggest of the biggest shows. And we decided, well, you know, let's build a couple more trucks. My cousin Zach actually owns the Paul Cohen chassis and he wanted to build one. And so we built a third truck, you know, to pair that truck up. So there were two trucks in a trailer. You know, anybody that runs monster truck knows that, you know, you can't make enough money if you're running one truck out of a trailer. So that's kind of how it evolved. And then we got into, you know, the idea for the Jurassic Attack truck. You know, we were sitting around talking one day and I was like, if there was any truck that you could bring back that isn't currently running, what would it be? And Mike said, well, you know, that'd be Jurassic Attack for sure. And so I started thinking about it and that's kind of how the conversation started happening with bringing that truck back. And now we have all these truck names and we need trucks to put them on. So.
I'm muted. All right. So, you know, Jurassic Attack, that's the choice of truck that you guys decide to bring bracket to the forefront. What is that process like, bringing a name like Jurassic Attack that hasn't ran competitively in almost 10 years back to the spotlight?
Well, you know, I know I had to tread lightly. You know, Don Frankish obviously owns the Jurassic Attack monster truck. And so I knew I needed to get a hold of him, obviously. And that if we were going to bring it back, we had to do the right thing. So I called Don. I actually talked to him on social media, on Messenger most of the time. But, you know, I think we just started building a relationship. And it probably took 7 or 8 months before we decided, you know, let's do this. And, you know, I think from his point of view, his biggest thing was he wanted to be a good truck all the time. And, you know, I reassured him that there is no B team on our team. Each and every guy that drives for me knows that if you have a chance to win, you know, go for it. Do whatever you got to do to try and win. And that's just kind of what we're about. We're not out there to just collect a paycheck. We want to, you know, leave a memory in all those kid minds and all the different fans that are watching. We want them to be, you know, proud of the job that we do. And, you know, we're proud of each other, too. David Tutal, like you said, most of the shows he went and did, you know, he was the star of the show. I took the CRD truck and debuted the Rockwell Red truck here in Tremont. And so he had to take my truck to Pennsylvania. And, you know, he did great out there. And one of the asphalt shows he did in Pennsylvania, I think he about burned the tread off of some brand new tires. I don't think he ever lifted the entire time. He did so good. He didn't break anything. And, you know, that's kind of what we're about. So
you touched a little bit on Rockwell Red, and the mission of Rockwell Red is the red stands for Remember Everyone Deployed. So when you get behind the wheel of that truck, you know, what's it like representing veterans and people overseas?
You know, it was surreal. It was a bit of an emotional show, that first show, especially being here in our hometown. And I know a lot of people that are in the military that were in attendance at the show. and it just it meant a lot to me. I haven't served in the military, and so, you know, it was kind of a way that we could give back, even though we haven't served, and kind of let everybody, you know, be mindful and Bible and prayerful about those that help us keep our freedoms and, you know, keep us safe.
And, you know, the same question for you, David. You know, you ran pretty much everybody underneath the Team Throttle banner. Was there a identity that stuck out to you more as, you know, like a Rockwell that's more meaningful or something that you can identify with?
Not so much. I like the name Wrecking Machine. I like the new design that they came up with. Hunter and Jeff did a cool job there. But the Rockwell, it did stand for, you know, remember everyone deployed. And, you know, it kind of meant a little something to me when, you know, before the show, you know, right before the national anthem, they would, you know, take a moment, you know, have everybody that has served or is in the line of duty or whatever the case be, you know, stand up and, you know, get some applause for their recognition. And, you know, that's what that truck represents. You know, it's because of people like that that we get to enjoy all the freedoms that we have.
So you're sitting there in the shop or you're on the road or wherever. When did you find out that you were going to be the first driver of the brand new Jurassic Attack?
Well, I mean, like Paul had talked about, it had been a conversation topic a couple different times in the shop. And I thought it'd be cool just to have the name back. I never thought that I'd be driving it. But, you know, it came down to once we actually physically got a body built, we were looking at it, and it never really appealed to us that it actually fit better on the CRD chassis. Just because of the way the cage is shaped, it's going to fit on that one the best. And, you know, Paul's got his truck, Mike's got his truck, and they're all a little bit different. So we decided we're going to put it on the CRD, and I guess I was going to be the one to go out there and debut it.
So that debut event is going to be, as everything goes as planned, Salt Lake City for Monster Jam in January 2021. You know, people that know your history, they know that you were a former technician for Monster Jam and you really worked your way up through the ranks. A lot of opportunities, maybe missed opportunities, missed chances. It brought you back to this moment, you know, and now you get to drive Jurassic Attack in Monster Jam. What's that moment going to be like?
That moment's going to be really surreal. You know, I spent almost 9 years, I think, as a Monster Jam crew chief, and finally got my chance to step behind the wheel. And so now to bring back a name that is iconic as Jurassic Attack, you know, it's blowing up all over social media. The fans are ecstatic to see it back. And I've been a fan of the truck, you know, since I was a kid. You know, I've seen it at a lot of local events back home, and always was fascinated with the truck and really liked it. So to be able to bring the truck to a new generation of fans and all the fans that were excited about it, you know, 10 years ago, it's going to be a pretty awesome moment.
It'll be a pretty awesome moment indeed. And, you know, there's a lot of people tuned in right now. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you like and share this podcast video, especially right here and right now. Vincent, what do you say? You want to show off what Jurassic Attack's going to look like next year?
Well, I mean, Too Tall said it. A lot of fans are looking forward to this moment. We got 115 people watching right now. I think it's the perfect time to show it. It's time to reveal the new Jurassic Attack. Here it is.
There she is.
So I got to ask, while we're looking at it right now, Paul, Too Tall, one of you guys can respond. Was there any design process going into this new, brand new Jurassic Attack?
So Don Frankish had given us a lot of these ideas and kind of gave us a concept of what he wanted. And I contacted Master Faster, and that's who designed the new wrap. We kind of gave him some ideas, and I think it was a little bit frustrating for him for a little bit because we kept changing things, and, you know, going over our hourly budget. And I'm like, you know, it doesn't matter. This thing has to be perfect. We want the fans to be happy, Don to be happy, Too Tall to be happy. Everybody's got to be happy with the way this looks before we debut it.
And Too Tall, what's your thoughts on this brand new truck?
I really like it. You know, it's something different. It's new age, but it's still got the old feel to it. You know, it's an older truck. But, you know, it's kind of the new age, kind of a transformer robot dinosaur. You know, it's something different. And I think once everybody, you know, starts to see in person and on a truck, I think it's really going to resonate with the fans.
Yeah, we're looking at the design here. Is that trophy truck bedsides on this Jurassic?
Yeah, the fenders.
Oh, fenders, yeah.
Yeah, the bedsides are the 2014 Ford Raptor bedsides.
So is there a specific chassis you guys are putting this on, the CRD or the Cohen, or you guys have a brand new chassis for this truck?
Both. So we're going to put on a CRD chassis, and that's Too Tall truck. That's the one he helped us build together from scratch. And so he has a lot of time and effort put into that. So we've, you know, nominated him to drive that truck. We're building a truck right now. That's the truck I'll be driving. And we'll be debuting a Jurassic Attack on that as well.
So there will be two Jurassic Attacks when it's all said and done for 2021.
There will be.
There you go. So not just Too Tall at the party. It'll be Paul Jensen, Team Jurassic Attack for 2021.
You heard it right here.
Yep.
Well, you know, we're not alone here tonight. You know, it's been a great discussion here thus far. Jurassic Attack is such an iconic name, and it's really the visionary of one man that has stayed in the industry through this time, and he is our special guest here tonight. We've mentioned him a couple times. Why don't we bring him on? Our special guest this evening is Don Frankish.
Don Frankish. Here he is, the man that knows the world.
Glad to be here. Glad to debut this new paint job. It looks incredible.
Sure does.
This has been probably a 10-year process, actually. It started even back when Gary was working for me, the concept. There's probably been a dozen people that have put artwork into this over the years, and we just kept combining different elements until we got it to where we were happy with it. Threw it at Paul. Paul first contacted me when I was coming back from Australia, which he has a connection there too. And it just, right from the start, it felt like a good fit. We had a really narrow window of teams that I thought would fit the image of that truck. And I think we found the perfect match.
I'd say so myself. Now, Don, maybe some fans haven't been keeping up with what you've been up to over the last number of years. What's your schedule been like since fans last saw you full-time in a competitive monster truck?
Mainly we've been doing the ride truck gig for about the last 10 years, pretty much full-time. I remember event 2 years ago, Paul had his equipment up in Edmonton here, and I just fell in love with his kamikaze truck. I had always wanted a Baja body on a Maniac for like 15 years. But it would never fit in our trailer, so it wasn't worth the major work to change it. But that, I don't know, I just seen that chassis, it worked, and the stance was perfect. And so I kind of took note of his stuff then. I never knew we'd be talking about teaming up and making an effort at this, but just certain trucks stick in your mind, you know what works, and that was one of them that really grabbed my attention. And as far as the last few years, we've been doing a lot of plasma cutting stuff. We've sold our ride truck recently here, and we got a pretty good start on the new one. But with the Christmas rush, the plasma art's kind of taken over that project till January. So hopefully have it done by March.
So I got to ask, for those listening at home, can you tell us the backstory on how you came up with Jurassic Attack?
You know, that's a moment that'll be etched in my mind forever. Always was into dinosaurs and the movies and whatever. And I was going to a show alone, traveling across North Dakota. And I stopped at a truck stop. And right at that time, Snake Bite was the newest, biggest thing. One of the only 3D trucks. There was a couple others. And I picked up a book on tape to try and keep me awake the rest of the night. And it was Jurassic Park. And I was like, you know, that'd make a really cool movie, but nobody will ever do it right unless it's Spielberg. And of course, 10 years later, he does it. But it's where the gears started turning on the whole concept. And we had a local artist that did our t-shirts at the time. He did up some different renderings. We actually started with a T-Rex body, but it just looked too alligator-like. It didn't match the wheelbase. It didn't match anything, even though that's the direction we thought we wanted to go. And then he tried a Triceratops, and it just fit. The fenders, everything just fit perfect. And then we went along, went to build it. And I remember the day I went to order the truck, the molds back then were really big money compared to nowadays. And I had gotten an audit letter from the government for a really big amount of money. And I'm like, oh, there goes that plan. I should just lock everything down till this is all sorted. Thought about it for a day and I'm like, nah, screw it. Go on with life. Go on with the plan. They'll get their money when they need it. Well, when it's all said and done, I think I owed them about $1,000. It was nowhere. It wasn't 1/100th of what they were claiming. And by then the truck was pretty much built. We went and got the body, put it together. That was back in the Leaf Spring days, but we were slowly converting that chassis. And Kevin Wink was still driving for me. He drove it for quite a while. Then we started updating it again. He was having a baby right about the time we were supposed to be leaving. It came along a little bit early. And so Lindsay was helping in the shop that week, and he's like, oh, my hockey's gone about as far as it's going. I'll come along for a ride. And he drove it for many years, and then Nathan jumped in the seat, and then Christy and Gary. And, you know, the last year we toured was about 2011, I think. And I didn't have a full-time driver. I was just grabbing everybody that I had enjoyed working with. Scott Anderson was in the seat quite a bit that year, but there was probably 16 different drivers. And that was one of the most fun years that I ever had, because everything was new and fresh every weekend, new people and just the best people. We had a great time. But yeah, it's evolved a long ways over the years.
So when you were designing Jurassic Attack, and then when you finally got the body on the truck, was there any like design flaws or issues with keeping the truck in one piece?
Not really, no. I mean, it's just another fiberglass Ford body underneath with some odd shapes added to it. I remember when we were first looking at trying to get it painted, we had actually found a guy up in Calgary that was supposed to be one of the best, and we didn't know it at the time, but he's probably the best on the planet, and his work is far too good to be on a race chassis. And we did a pretty good long run without turning it upside down, and I'm about 99% sure Too Tall was there when it went over the first time out in Oregon. But
yep.
After that, it was like any other truck. Just run it hard.
So when you debuted Jurassic Attack, what was the initial fan reaction like? I'm sure you had a huge pit party line.
Yeah, it was pretty good. There was a lot of concern from some of the people about the visibility. We had the two-way window screens in there for the side windows and you know, the regular rumors and whatnot, but it went out. It did good. I mean, it wasn't a full competitive truck by that point because it still had leaf springs, but it still had the longest lineup in the building. And it always has. I kind of wish I'd have drove it more back in the day, but the last year and a half that I did drive it quite often, I really enjoyed it. I was actually surprised by the level of how well it landed, because it had a little bit shorter shocks than most of the guys at the time at the end, but it landed like a pillow. It was incredible.
So Paul and Too Tall, I mean, you heard it from Don himself, having the longest line in the pit party with that truck. So what kind of pressure does it put on you guys knowing that you're bringing back a fan favorite truck?
Go ahead, Paul.
That's why Too Tall is going to the looks like I'm muted.
You're good.
So that's why Too Tall is going to do the arena shows. He's going to do the 5-show weekends. I'm more interested in the stadium weekends, 1 or 2 shows.
Oh, man. So, Too Tall, how do you feel about that?
I'm excited. You know, like I said, I've been a fan for years and years. You know, I remember what Don was talking about back in, you know, close to home there in Sublimity, Oregon, when it went upside down. So I've known the truck for years, and, you know, it's reminds me of, like, when I was a kid, you know. So if I can, you know, interact with the kids like that, you know, bring the memories back and just try and do a good job with it, that's – I'm more excited about, you know, just going out there and doing a good job than trying to think about the pressure.
Phil, you're muted.
Technology. All right. So, you know, David, you're going to have that first crack at bringing Jurassic Attack back, and it is a 5-event weekend, and I'm sure you're going to have a lot more weekends where you have events upon events. Are you worried about damaging that truck? You know, it's not going to look as pretty as it once started.
Yeah, it's not going to, you know, but I figure maybe get my feet wet a little bit, you know, figure out the Monster Jam Arena tracks again, you know, but after that, I'm just going for it. You know, we're about going out and running hard and representing ourselves well, and we're going to see if we can't, you know, take home some wins there, and if I have to do a little fiberglass, I have to do some fiberglass.
So, Paul, I'm going to ask you the same question. Are you worried about fiberglass work, or are you just going to go for it?
Like I said earlier, looks like I'm muted.
You're good. We got you.
Like I said earlier, you know, Too Tall, you know, when we were thinking about who was going to debut Jurassic Attack first, you know, we always, Mike and I were talking, we always kind of had in the back of our mind, you know, that Too Tall would get that opportunity. And after watching some of the videos from his, you know, his first few shows, you know, like, yeah, he can definitely do it. So, we're just excited for him to be out there. If he can win, you know, he has my blessing to go out there and do whatever he has to try and win that event or that show. And you know, I'm excited to see the Jurassic Attack again. There's been a lot of fans that have been saying, you know, we're excited to see you use that front horn or the kickstand. You know, Too Tall really good at the stoppies and things like that. And, you know, fiberglass damage. You know, we bought a chopper gun. We have all the fiberglass material. Don was nice enough to send us the mold, so we'll do another one.
You know, in case anybody's joining us right now that didn't see the design, Vincent, why don't I put the design back up on the screen?
Yeah, we'll bring it up right here.
There's our new 2021 Jurassic Attack. And, you know, I'll direct this next question towards Don. You know, Don, it's been a number of years since Jurassic Attack has been competitively out there racing every weekend. What is but you've done a very good job of keeping Jurassic Attack in the public eye, whether it be in video games or in toys. Was that always part of like the process of just keeping Jurassic Attack in on the shelves and in consumers' minds?
Definitely. Like I say, we kind of wanted to do it several years ago, even when Gary Schott had his truck, but it just didn't work out. We had a bolt body down there and everything, but he didn't stay around long enough. But some of that is just the popularity of the truck. I don't always have a say if Spin Master's going to go or not. I actually was quite fearful when it switched from Hot Wheels to Spin Masters. That might be the end of the road for us, because the molds are expensive to make for them toys. And, you know, if you got a Ford, you can have any other Ford paint job on it. When you got a dinosaur, that's all you can do with it. That's, you know, we got that trademark. And so we were quite concerned that might be the end of it. And then they haven't done any of the bigger diecast stuff yet with our newer, with Spin Masters. So we're kind of hoping maybe this will help push that. And, you know, we'll see some returns there eventually. But it's always still been popular. The website still sees a lot of traffic. The pit parties are phenomenal. When we go to a monster truck event with the ride truck, when we go to Edmonton, there's people that, I don't know why they do it. They miss half the show because they'll wait in line for 2 hours where, you know, we'll run till 2 a.m. if we have to. We're going to make sure everyone gets a ride.
And I know a lot of people in the comments have been asking, are we going to see a Spin Master of the 2021 Jurassic Attack anytime soon?
Probably not anytime soon. You know, those things go in pretty long cycles. From start to finish, I would guess it's at least a year. And they haven't mentioned it yet. They haven't seen it yet. Nobody has until today. So I think they'll be kind of a little bummed that we didn't stick with more traditional, because, you know, they can find merch for that quick. And it's going to all be new. But I think it'll come. I think the popularity will, they won't be able to say no.
Another thing that just happened, Don, is Jurassic Attack is in a new video game, being Steel Titans 2. I've seen you've been posting about it. What's your thoughts on that?
You know, I love the artwork I've seen so far. It's pretty much the dream chassis I'd have if I was to build a new truck. And then here, Paul and the gang are doing it anyway, so it's the best of both worlds. I get some exposure in that, and, you know, we're putting a brand new state-of-the-art trucks out there, more than one of them. I couldn't be happier.
Hey, Don, do you want to get back in the race truck?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to. You know, this COVID thing's kind of buggered up my Australia ride. We got one in just before they shut everything down last year. And I mean, that's the ideal gig. I love it. I love flying there. I love the country and the beach. And, you know, you go work on a truck one day, race the next, and then go surfing. It's perfect for me.
Well, what's the biggest difference from when you're competing in Australia to in North America?
The biggest difference for me would be just the left-hand controls are a little odd at first, but I adapt to that stuff pretty quick, I feel. You know, I was down there 2 years ago, and by the second race, I was beating some of the guys that have been in them trucks their whole lives. And, you know, the people are the same. The crowd is the same wherever you go in the world. They love what you do, and you're just there to put on a show and make everyone happy. And if I'm in a truck that lands smooth, I'm like a kid in a candy store. I'm so happy. The higher I can make it fly, the bigger the grin on my face under that helmet. And if it's fun, I'll just go back and keep hitting that same thing higher and higher every time.
And Paul, I know you've been to Australia so many times and been in a lot of the different trucks down there. Would you agree with a lot of the things that Don said?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Excuse me, absolutely. Like you said, the probably the most unique thing to get used to is, you know, the shifter and everything, the rear steer is on the opposite side of the truck. The thing I do the most is also get in the truck on the wrong side. So I'm always hitting my head on the wrong side of the truck trying to climb in. But I love the people over there. Going over there and driving is just, it's awesome. We were going to try and get over there this year and do some driving, but
Like Don said, COVID happened, and it kind of put a hamper on things. But the trucks over there are nice. They land good. And it's just as fun doing shows here, I think.
You know, David, you've been with the previous team before Team Throttle, and now you've been with Team Throttle for almost a year now. What's been the biggest difference from driving the previous trucks to where you're at now with Team Throttle?
Not a lot of differences. You know, they maybe had a little bit more horsepower, you know, but other than that, they're all pretty much the same. You know, they work good, they handle good. It's just trying to get acclimated to, you know, what that what the truck likes and doesn't like, you know, because they all have their own personality. So you kind of got to drive them all a little bit different and see what you can make of it.
And you guys touched on this a little bit earlier. For the listeners on Facebook, we mentioned something about two Jurassic Attacks running in 2021. So that begs the question, will we ever see two Jurassic Attacks in one show?
That's a good question. That is a good question. I think the second one, when we get Paul's new truck built, it's going to have a Jurassic. I don't know if it's going to have the same design to it, or maybe it's a little bit different, you know, but we might end up having two Jurassics at the same event. And see if they can't, you know, have a little dinosaur battle.
So, Paul, what would you think about a little dinosaur battle?
Well, I mean, the only thing better than one dinosaur monster truck is two. So, I'd be down.
Got to love a head-to-head matchup. David, is there anybody that you've haven't had the chance to race against that you would love to go head-to-head with now in Jurassic Attack?
I'd honestly, right now, if I was to immediately go back to doing like normal, like 100% non-COVID, like I want to go against my boy Cody Saucier. Me and him have known each other for a long time, and we've always talked about the day that we finally get to race each other. So now that this new Jurassic is coming back, and you know it's going to be a pretty much a brand new truck, I'm ready to step in the ring with Mr. Cody Saucier.
So you've had your hand in a lot of different disciplines in the monster trucks, and especially in Monster Jam. You know, part of the modern monster trucks is a lot of two-wheel action and a lot of different tricks. Is there a preference that you have when you're in the truck? Is there a certain move that you like to do?
Not really. You know, everybody does the stoppies and nose wheelies now, which they're fun. They're definitely a lot of fun to do. You know, but I grew up riding four wheelers and driving anything I can get my hands on. So I always wanted to make something do a wheelie. So if I can do, you know, one specific two wheel trick, it'd be any sort of wheelie.
So let's say you put a Jurassic Attack on its front wheels doing a stoppie or a moonwalk. I think you've been around the trucks as much to know, like, if you see El Toro Loco, you're going to damage the hood. You're going to give it a nose job. I'd have to imagine Jurassic Attack's going to have a little bit of the same issues there. Is that something you're going to take into account?
Yeah, you know, it's already crossed my mind that front horn might stick out a little too far. But, you know, with the body the way it is and once, you know, we get it back and can get it mounted on the truck and figure out how to mount the horns and everything else, I think we're going to figure out a way to make sure that the horn doesn't get too crunched if I get a little too far over on the nose.
So another one of those crazy moves is a backflip. It's always like the forbidden fruit. Do you want to do a backflip in Jurassic Attack?
I do. I've never been presented with the opportunity to do a backflip in anything that I've driven. You know, I think it's one of the moves that can separate you from everyone else. And I think it's something that I want to try. And, you know, hopefully it doesn't turn into a big dinosaur just falling on its back.
Paul, what are your thoughts? Backflip, yes, no, maybe so.
You know, we had this discussion at the shop. I'm pretty sure in Salt Lake City they're going to have a six-pack there. And, you know, there'd be nothing more cool than to debut the truck and have it do its first backflip here at home.
Oh, man, that's definitely that one we're going to have to watch.
That would be a way to debut the truck, that's for sure.
Let me get that here. You know, Don, I'll direct it towards you too. You know, the sport has had such an evolution from where we started 40 something years ago to where we're at now, and even especially to current time frame. What are your thoughts on a lot of what the current monster trucks are doing from when you were a full time driver?
What they're doing, the nose wheelies and all that. I'd love to have the option to play like a lot of the drivers do before they actually go in front of a crowd on new tricks like that. My generation's more of a dude on the track, and you know, you do something you think you can pull off. It's not go out there, try it 20 times until you get it right. It was a predictable odd, and we knew our risk and knew our chances of pulling it off. Backflips are kind of in that book. I think there's so many guys I know go out there and get it in one or two tries, and then others just struggle until they eventually get one. And then usually they're not that pretty when they're done. They just lucked out. And I think there's a big, big difference between drivers that can go out there and know what the truck's going to do and those that are just hanging on sometimes, it seems like. But some of the tricks are incredible, that's for sure. The moonwalks and stuff. I'm sure when you're in that position, you think you're already over, but it's something like anything. You do it enough times, it becomes natural.
So I'm going to say something to Paul here. And I just want to say Team Throttle Monster, in my opinion, is probably the fastest growing team in monster trucks right now. It seems like you guys are doing something every other month, so it's pretty entertaining. Recently, you guys got a ride truck from Luca and Closa. I mean, now Jurassic Attack, and I'm assuming there's much more to come. What's next for Team Throttle Monster?
You know, now we're kind of at the point where we're just improving on our equipment, you know, improving our motors, getting the fuel right, you know, building as much horsepower as we possibly can to give every person that drives for us, you know, the opportunity to win. You know, I think Tuttle's in a unique situation with this particular truck. You know, Don's giving him the opportunity to, you know, have an awesome name. You know, where the CRD chassis was completely tore down. So we just got it back today from powder coat. Everything's going back on it. Brand new motor, brand new transmission. You know, it's going to be top-notch. So he'll have all the tools necessary to fulfill that dream of trying to, you know, be the best monster truck driver he can be. And we're all rooting for him. You know, he has the talent and technical skills to do all the new stuff that everybody's doing. And so, you know, I'm almost as excited to see him drive as, you know, drive myself.
So are there any future drivers planned for 2021 besides, you know, Mike, Tuttle, and you? Also, I mean, you guys this year have acquired a couple new guys, being Dawson Reyes, and recently Hunter Souza got put in a full size. So what's that been like?
You know, watching Hunter drive, he had the mini monster, obviously, so he got to do a lot of practicing in that. And he jumped right in a full-size monster, and, you know, he's also one that has done nothing but impress us. Jeff, his dad, he jumps in for me whenever I can't make it to a show or on vacation or whatnot, and he does a great job in Kamikaze. Dawson's going to get the opportunity to drive, you know, if we have a first quarter or whenever that starts. He'll be driving one of the trucks. Zach jumps in, he drives at some of the shows, so we have plenty of people that want to drive, and, you know, like I said, every single one of them, you know, are if you have, if you're able to win, you know, if you put the truck in the situation to win a show, you know, go for it. Let's see what you can do. And, you know, that's the best thing about monster trucks is going out there and put a show for the fans, you know, meeting all the kids and, you know, just being able to leave that lasting impression on people. And especially in these COVID times and pandemics and all these things going on in the world, it's nice for people to get a good release and go to a monster truck show and hear the noise and, you know, feel the motor running. And that means a lot to us. And we're thankful for all those fans out there that have, you know, stuck with us. Like you said, we have done quite a few shows when nobody else is running shows. And, you know, the fans were always there.
And if you need an extra driver, I see in the comments, Norm Miller is available.
He just says, I still have a helmet.
Come on out, Norm. We'd love to have you.
Hear that, Norm? Just send a message to Team Throttle. We'll get you figured out. I see another fan comment here. I know we're not doing a lot of the fan questions here tonight, but there's a burning question in here, and it's for Don Frankish. The question is, were you ever presented with the opportunity to compete in the World Finals?
No, we were not. We would have loved to give it a whirl. We kind of strive for that every year, but it was just never offered. I feel both of our trucks would have done really well for that track. We were almost always one of the tallest geared trucks out there, and we ran a 3-speed transmission when most didn't. So I think we'd have had a huge advantage of getting to those high speeds quick. And our trucks always turned great. That's never been an issue. So I think we'd have done well. You know, a lot of guys would have had way more head start on seat time on that track than us. But I think our trucks would have thrived on that track.
So I'm going to go on that from Don. This one's for Too Tall and Paul. Is that a goal for you guys to get Jurassic Attack in the World Finals?
Absolutely. You know, it's a huge dream of mine to compete in the World Finals, or, you know, Young Guns or Double Down Showdown, whatever you want to call it, you know. But to be at the top level, you know, to take a name that was so historic and synonymous with monster trucks back then and just, you know, help, you know, push it into the new age. I mean, the truck is so well known. Everybody knows it. It's so well known. And to be able to take, you know, the popularity of the truck and just keep going with it is something that I'd love to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you guys, I see obviously, Paul, you're rocking the new Jurassic Attack t-shirt. When can fans expect to get one of those shirts?
Yeah, they're available now. If anybody wants to send me a message or want a message in Messenger, we can hook you up and get you one of those. We don't have an online store yet, but we're working on that as well.
Well, expect your messages to be full when this is over, because I'm sure you're going to have plenty.
Make sure you save me a size large. That's what I wear.
Ditto.
Hey, so as we start to wind down here, you know, this has been such a great journey to bring Jurassic Attack back. And, you know, this question is for Don. You've been there for every moment in this truck's history. Is there a favorite Jurassic Attack moment that sticks out in your mind?
You know, there's quite a few. One of the best pictures I've got of that truck is in the Tacoma Dome. Christy was driving, and they had a huge, like, 5 or 6 car stack for a motocross lander there. And she said, you know, I think I'm going to try and avoid that at least the first half of the weekend. And I said, well, do whatever you want, but if it's staring you in the face and you have to hit it hard. Don't go half-ass. And she ended up in that situation and just launched that thing into orbit. And it's a cool picture. It's got Digger in the background. She's got to be about 20, 25 feet in the air. And that's probably the best picture I've got of that truck. There's a few times where I drove it where I had a blast, but nothing as memorable as that. And then there was a couple shows in Europe. I don't know if it was Randy Brown or Cam McQueen driving, but there was some incredible pictures out of a couple of those European tours that year I didn't get to go. So
you know, just I remember, any good
photo, and I just almost cherish it. So should be lots more to come now.
And no, absolutely. And I was going to mention the a lot of the fun in Europe. I remember that crazy save of the year, a winner that you had out there in Cardiff.
Yeah, that was definitely a memorable moment. I remember being pretty much on my side and thinking, I still own this body. I still am going to be the guy fixing it when it comes back. And I thought it was done, but I just kept grabbing more rear steering and more throttle, and she come around. And yeah, that was probably my highlight in that chassis for sure.
So Don, what are your expectations for the brand new Jurassic Attack in 2021?
Well, like I say, it was a small window of trucks that would fit what I thought it should be. And Paul and them guys have nailed it. They sound like they intend to win everything they enter, and that's the way it should be. That's the way every team should be, in my opinion. But I can't wait to see what they do with it. I've seen some of Dave's driving this summer, and it just blows me away, because I guess I knew he was on my radar. I just didn't always know what vehicle he was in. We seen him in Calgary here about a year and a half ago. And you know, it wasn't a big arena. It was outdoors, but it's just not allowing the trucks to go really crazy. And I think both drivers are very capable of getting to Vegas. I think both trucks are. And I just love these new chassis. I mean, they work so well. And with the right people in them, they should go all the way. I don't see anything holding them back.
Definitely agree with you. Now, Don, could we possibly see you at the debut show of Jurassic Attack or any shows with Jurassic Attack in 2021?
You know, Salt Lake's a short drive. It's only 12 hours for us. As anybody in this industry knows, that's just a day drive. But with our Canadian customs and stuff and our slow response on this COVID thing, I got a feeling I'm going to have to sit that one out. But I'm sure I could probably get down there, but then I'd have to quarantine, and that would cut into work too much. But yeah, once things are back to normal, we'll pop into the crowd and crew and turn wrenches every once in a while, gladly.
Well, we can't wait to see you out there in the crowd, Don. And, you know, I'll ask the same question to Paul. What are your expectations for Jurassic Attack in 2021?
You know, my expectations are, you know, the same as with all of our trucks. You know, Michael, he won the toughest tour. Yeah. Every truck we have is going to do the same thing. All five trucks are going to be out there. Whatever tour they're on, we're going to try and win. We're going to do the best we can. We have the equipment. We have all the spare parts. Now it's just a matter of, you know, each and every driver using their talents and making it happen.
And I'll make sure David gets the final word here. Same question for you, especially since you'll be the debut driver of the re-reveal. What are your expectations for Jurassic Attack in 2021?
Probably my expectations would be just bringing the name back. You know, it never really went away per se, but, you know, just putting it back in the forefront. You know, we're on this team, we're all about running hard and getting our name out there and doing a good job. And that's kind of my expectation from myself and this truck is to, you know, put it in the winner's circle. You know, I always love going out and doing a good job and having fun. And I feel like if I'm having fun, the fans are having fun. And as long as everybody has a good time and we can represent well and do a good job with Jurassic Attack, maybe make some new fans and keep putting our name out there. I think we're going to do really well.
Well, you said it best there, gentlemen. This has been such a great night here. We unveiled the brand new Jurassic Attack. In case you're coming in late again, Vince, why don't you put it back on screen one more time?
Yep.
There it is, folks.
Already had you.
Jurassic Attack is coming back in 2021. David Too Tall Ofer will be the inaugural driver of the brand new Jurassic Attack. Paul Jensen will have his own Jurassic Attack in the coming months into 2021. And, of course, Don Frankish will be back there making sure they're living up to the honor of Jurassic Attack into a new year, a new outlook for the team. Guys, it's been great having you all on here. We're so excited to see this truck in action. We can't wait to be out there at the events with you guys, and it's just going to be a lot of fun, right, Vincent?
Definitely agree. It was an awesome time reviewing the truck, and, you know, I'm getting more excited by the minute to see this truck on the track. It's definitely exciting. 2021 is going to be a great year, and it's going to be great.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for being on here. We can't wait to see you out there with Jurassic Attack.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks for the invite.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. What a great episode here. We've been so blessed to do so many great episodes on here. And if you're a first-time listener, we do this every week. We go live on Facebook, and we interview the past, present, and future of the Monster Trucks on the West Coast. We have such a great library of past episodes. If you want to check out some of our past drivers and promoters and industry veterans, we have them in all shapes and sizes. Go to our video tab here on our Facebook page. Live podcast episodes is the album. You can find all of our episodes on there. And to stay up to date with what we're doing, you saw Vincent point to the bottom of the screen. Make sure you like this page. Follow what we're doing at all times here on Facebook, because that's where you'll hear it first. Also, all of our episodes are in audio-only form, wherever you can hear podcasts.
We are Apple sound. Podcasts,
Spotify, Google Podcasts, anywhere where sound. iHeartRadio, Pandora, Stitcher, any podcast platform, we're there. You can find all of our past episodes there, as well as this episode we had tonight. You know, I have to give a huge, huge shout-out to Team Throttle Monster, especially Paul Jensen, for allowing us to be the first people to reveal this brand new Jurassic Attack. And also a huge shout out to Frankish Enterprises for their support in all of this as well. I also have to give a shout out to my buddy Brian Anger. He helped a lot with the graphics. And of course, our own Vincent Ackard, who produced a video here for us tonight. Also Danny McGinley, who helps with a lot of the videos. A lot of effort goes into what we do here, and it's episodes like this that makes it pay off for us.
But there's one person or people you forgot to thank, and this is the biggest thank you coming from me. It's the viewers at home. Thank you for supporting us. You know, every week we come on here, and gives us motivation to come on every week. And we're not slowing down on the podcast. We're not slowing down at all. We say it every time. We're like a freight train because we've got a ton of content coming your way.
We'll see you then. Next week, we'll be back here with another live episode of the Monster Trucks Outlaws of the West podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great night.